third day of Chol HaMoed and the fourth day of the Omer. And today is Bechor Zayin. We're picking it up on Vav. Towards the bottom, we are seven lines up, Ela. What we've been discussing is the Torah repeated Gamol, Gamol. It means in Vayikra we said Gamol, and in Dvarim we said Gamol, in the list of non-kosher animals. And the Rabbanan said that was to exclude the milk of a Gamol. Now, why would we think we could even drink camel's milk? It's because regular milk, all milk, is Eiver Min HaChai. It comes out of a live animal. So since the Torah taught us that this milk, even though it's Eiver Min HaChai, is mutter in consumption, we might think that applies to all milk, even from a camel. So we have Gamol Gamol, which includes even the milk. Rabbi Shimon learned from Es HaGamol. We had the famous Gemara about being Dorish all the Isim, that the Et, or Es, is to include something else. And Rabbi Akiva said, Et L'Rabot Talmidei Chachamim. So we've learned that the milk from Gamalim is not kosher, but other milk, even though you might have thought it's Eiver Min HaChai, is kosher. Now, we learned before that eggs are kosher. You remember why eggs are kosher? You remember the source? Eggs are kosher? Shkoyach, a little milk. Thank you. Thank you. Wow. This is in Yana Diyoma. A little bit of milk, and it's kosher. It's Eiver Min HaChai. Anyone remember why Beitzim are kosher? I'll give you a hint. What's the last perek of Chulin? Wow. Shuluch HaKohen. Thank you. Thank you. I was getting worried. This was only like a week ago. Shuluch HaKohen. Beautiful. So Shulach Khan, it says, what do you want out of the nest? The Ephrochim or the Beitzim? So Rabbi Yossi, the Torah tells you specifically, if you have a kosher bird, the eggs are also kosher, Ephrochim or Beitzim from Shulach Khan. Beautiful. So we know that your milk and eggs are kosher. It's very helpful. So we are seven lines up from the bottom of Vav Amud Beis 6b, Ela Me'ata. So we repeated Gamol Gamol. Thank you very much. Sarah Mashkim is here. Chazak Avruch. Baruch Atah Adonai L'Machlam Sha'akol Ni'ab Nivrol. Wow. Kos Yeshua Sesol. So we repeated Gamol Gamol. Elemelta Shafan Shafan. What about Shafan Shafan? Shafan is a sort of a bunny-like creature. Sorry, it's not a bunny-like creature. It's another non-kosher creature, but similar to that. Arnevit is the bunny rabbit. It's the word that was famously changed in the Septuagint, when the Torah was translated into Greek. The sages changed the word Arnevit into something else in Greek, because in Greek it was the name of the wife of the emperor, and they didn't want to insult the wife of the emperor because that would be trouble. And Chazir is also repeated. That means all of these words appear in Vayikra. They also appear in Devarim, along with Gamol. So, Lahanei Hudatu, do these also get a drasha? So we had a whole drasha, Gamol Gamol, that the milk of a gamol isn't kosher, even though milk in general is kosher, afopi, that it's Eiver Min HaChai. So what about these other animals that are repeated, these non-kosher animals? Elik HaTanya, so why are they repeated? Like the Braisa tells us, Lama Nishnu Bivhema, why did it repeat the not-kosher behemas in Vayikra and again in Devarim? Mivnei HaShesua. Shesua only appears in Devarim, not in Vayikra. Uva Ofot, Mipnei HaRa'ah. And for Ofot, it adds the Ra'ah. Now, actually, it says Da'ah in the first list and Ra'ah in the second list. And it seems that they're the same bird, the Mefarshim say. They're called by different names in different places. Or perhaps they were different subspecies of the same species. So they're both, don't eat them. Gamol Gamol Nami L'Hachi Hudatso. So why don't we say Gamol Gamol? We're just repeating Gamol Gamol because we had to add or change the name for some of the list of animals between Vayikra and Devarim, so we know exactly which animals are not kosher, and which birds also. Kol hecha de'ika l'midrash darshinen. So rather, when we are able to make a nice drasha, we're going to make a nice drasha. It could also be that Gamol was the first one in the list. So the drasha really goes on the repetition in general. We've repeated the names of various non-kosher animals. We learn out that their milk is not kosher, even though we might have thought it's kosher, because we had this Eretz Zvat Chalav Udvash, that the chalav, even though we might have thought it's Eiver Min HaChai, chalav is actually kosher. And on Pesach, it's got to be kosher le Pesach, because you can't drink milk from an animal that was eating chametz on Pesach. So that would be a problem. That would be benefiting from chametz. So get your KFP milk at 7 Mile Market. This was not a paid promotion. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Rochel Sheyalda Min Eiz. We've seen this Gemara before, Abosai. What about a sheep that gave birth to a goat, the eish yaldam in rachel, or a goat gave birth to something like a sheep, petura min a bechora. It does not count as a bechor. V'miyesh ba mixa simanim, for the sum of the signs of the mother. It looks a bit like the mother, chayevet. It is chayev in bechor. Again, it would be a mum, though. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Aji Hei Rosho Verubo Domedimar. Rabbi Shimon has a more stringent requirement, Rabbi Osai, to be a Bechor. It has to be Dome Rosho Verubo, the head and the majority. So you can tell, okay, so this animal that came out, it looks a little bit like a goat, but it looks mostly like a sheep. The head is like a sheep. So that's what Rabbi Shimon requires to be Chayv and Bechor. Ibai Lehu Lechila Mibai Rabbi Shimon Rosho Verubo. So we learned in our Mishnah, if a kosher animal gives birth to something that's a bit of a mutant, a bit of a nidmeh, and maybe it has the hooves of a camel, but it looks like a cow otherwise, does Rabbi Shimon, and the Mishnah says it's mutter because it came out of a kosher mother. Does Rabbi Shimon agree, or does Rabbi Shimon require rosho verubo? Like Rabbi Shimon requires rosho verubo for bechor, maybe Rabbi Shimon requires rosho and rubo, most of the body and the head, to be kosher, even though it came out of a kosher mother, of course. Olo, maybe he doesn't require that. Linyan Bechor Kesiv, by the Bechor, it says, Ach Bechor Shor, only the Bechor Shor. Ad Shehu Shor, Bechor Shor. The mother has to be a Shor, and the offspring has to be a Shor. They both have to look like an ox, like a normal cow. Aval Achila, but for Achila, Gamal Hu, de Amar Rahmana, by eating the Gamal, the camel, is what the Torah excludes, de Aser. That's Aser to eat. Ha Ishtane Megamal, top of Zion, if it was changed from a Gamal, Shaper dummy. So it wasn't exactly a gummel, but the cow gave birth to something that has gummel features, but also cow features. So since it came out of a kosher mother, we're going to say that's kosher to eat. Odil maloshna, or maybe for eating, Rabbi Shimon says it's like bechora, it would need rosh of rubo. He needs a higher standard to be able to eat it, just like for bechor. Tashima, coming here from the Mishnah, behema tahora, shialdim in behema tamea. Kosher animal gave birth to a non-kosher. That's her Mishnah, Rabbi Osai. Aser be'achila. Vim dame rosh of rubo le'imo, chaya bechora. If it's sorry, this is not our Mishnah, this is Rabbi Shimon's Baraisa on our Mishnah. So he would say that he needs Rosh of Rubo to eat it. Shema mina le'achila nami by Rabbi Shimon, Rosh of Rubo. So you see, for eating, he also needs it to look like the kosher mother in the Rosh of Rubo, the head and most of the body. Lo. So maybe this Baraisa doesn't mean that. It means le'bechora davka. It means davka the bechora. Daika nami. And if you read this Baraisa carefully, you'll also see this. Because the first clause in the Braisa is about eating, and the second clause is about Bechor. He just says, Aser Bechila, period. So he seems to say that it's Aser to eat, period, because it looks like not kosher. It seems to be very machmir. But if it has Rosh Rubo, it is eligible to be a Bechor. So Shmamina, the Bechorahu Devai Rabbi Shimon Rosh Rubo. So you learn from here, Rabbi Shimon needs Rosh Rubo only by Bechor. Aval achila, lo, but maybe not by achila. Maybe it's a different standard by achila. So olam emalach, really, I could tell you, achila nami bai. For eating the animal, Rabbi Shimon also requires you to have rosho, verubo, it resembles the kosher mother. Avachora itztrich, and by bechor, he really needs this. Saikadach amina, because you would have thought to say, hoil, since, ksiv, the Torah says, ach bechor shor, only the firstborn of the shor. Ajie hu shor v'choro shor. So it sounds like by b'chora, it sounds like by the firstborn, we're more stringent because it has that word ach, which is a mute. It's like only davka, like this. So only the b'chora of the shor would count for the halacha of being the b'chora, of being the firstborn. So we might have thought it's a higher standard. V'lo tiske, it's not enough le b'rosh of rubo. Maybe it's not enough for the offspring of the firstborn offspring to have the rosh of a rubo. It needs ad de'ika kule. It needs to be resembling it entirely. So kamashmalan, we learn that Rabbi Shimon says it's good enough, rosh of rubo. We might have thought it's more machmir. You need it to be exactly like the bechor shor. You need the bechor to be exactly like the shor. So Rabbi Shimon is teaching us, even if it's rosh of rubo, even if the head and most of it is like the shor, that's good enough. Good. Toshima, come see the Mishnah. Ach et zei lo tochlu. Only these don't eat mimale gera mimafrasei parsa, from those who raise up their cud, they chew their cud again, and those with split hooves. So there's something that we don't eat out of those. So it goes on to tell you the gamal is the end of that pasuk. Zei iata ochel, so this one, the gamal, you can't eat. Avalata ochel haba b'simen echad, but you are sometimes able to eat an animal with one of the kosher simanim. Ve'eze zei, and which one is this? haba b'simen echad, that's coming with one kosher simon, ze tameh hanolad min hatachar. So this is a non-kosher looking animal, but it came out of a kosher animal. So again, this is like the camel looking thing that came out of a cow. This is a cow with that has camel's hooves or something like this, camel's toes. The iburu min hatachar, but the father was also a kosher species. The father was a cow and the mother was a cow, but the offspring was mutated. Yachol afilu iburu min hatameh, you might have thought even if the father, if this cow got pregnant from a tameh, from an actual camel or a non-kosher animal. Tam lomar se kesavim se izim. So it says se. Se means the child, the offspring. So it says the se of the sheep, the se of the goats. Achye aviv kevis ve'imo kivsa. So we want it to be that the both the father and the mother are a sheep, and that's when it's eligible to be a bechor. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says, he says you need both the father and the mother to be kosher. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says differently from Rabbi Yeshua. He says lo b'hakosiv lahatir es hamutar. You think the Torah is coming to tell us that you are allowed to eat the kosher animal? So if the father is kosher and the mother is kosher, even if the offspring is a bit of a mutant, that's obvious to Rabbi Eliezer that that is a kosher animal to eat. Elohosif ala mutar. So this pasuk is adding on something new that is mutar, you might have thought is usher. Eze, which one is that? That's tame hanolad min hatahor, something that looks like a tame animal, and it came out of the kosher animal. The iburo min hatame, but the father was a not kosher animal. Now that's a chiddush. So the Torah has to add this in the pasuk that we wouldn't have thought we could eat something with a tame father and a kosher mother. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying we could. Oeno ele iburo min hatahor. Maybe it's only if the animal got pregnant from a kosher father. Talmud Lomar, Shita takes out the shur. He says se kesavim se izim, the offspring of sheep, the offspring of goats. Mikomakom, in any event. So Rabbi Eliezer goes after only the mother. He uses matrilineal descent. So Baruch Hashem, he goes after the mother. So even if the father was a non-kosher animal, the offspring of this kosher mother is going to be edible. So Kari La Tame, but it says Tame, Rabbi Shimon. So that's like Rabbi Shimon. Veka Amar Avalata Ochel Haba B'Simon Echa. But he says, but you can eat something that comes with one kosher simon. So hi Tana Savarle Kivase Bechada. So this Tana who teaches this brisa, he holds like Rabbi Shimon with one thing, Poligale Bechada, and not by the other thing. So he holds like Rabbi Shimon that you could eat this mutant animal that has one kosher simon, but not that you need Rosh of Arubo. So even if this animal that has the not kosher father, but the kosher mother, and it comes out looking like a mutant, so even if it doesn't have Rosh of Arubo, but it came out of a kosher mother, this Tana would say you could still eat it. And some people have a kasha on this. Mosiv iburim in atame. They say, wait, you're telling me a kosher animal got pregnant from a not kosher father animal? Mi me'abra, could this even happen? Could a kosher animal become pregnant from a not kosher? Hamar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, he was bucking in animals, and he says, le'olam ein misaberes, it will not get pregnant. Lo tameya min atahor, not a non-kosher animal from a kosher species. V'lo tahora min atame, and not a kosher female animal from a non-kosher animal father. V'lo gasa min adaka, and not a large animal, which refers usually to cows and oxen, from adaka, which is sheep and goats. V'lo daka min agasa, and not vice versa. V'lo behema min chaya, and not even a domesticated animal from a wild animal. V'lo chaya min behema, and not a wild animal from domesticated. Chutz mirabi Eliezer u'machlekuser, except for the case of Rabbi Eliezer and those who argue on him. Rashi points out this is referring to the koi. The koi is this famous animal we had in Chulin Rabosai, and we couldn't decide whether it's a behema or a chaya. The reason we couldn't decide was a machlokis. So Rabbi Eliezer said, well, it's its own thing. It's not really a behema or a chaya. It's its own species. It's a birya bifnei atzma. It's sort of this separate category. And those who argued on Rabbi Eliezer, they said, no, what actually happened was it's from a tayish and a tzvia. And the tayish is a domesticated form of goat, some sort of mountain goat, but it is domesticated as a goat. And the tzvia is a steinbok, says Rashi. We translate it usually as a deer. As a tzvi, we usually translate deer, so which is a chaya. So this behema and the chaya, they were able to reproduce and produce the koi. So in that case, it is possible, but Rabbi Shulben Levi is teaching us generally it's impossible for the kosher mother to get impregnated by a non-kosher species. Shahayu omrim chaya mitzberet behema. Right, so those, when they're talking about the koi, they do say that the chaya, the tzvia, is able to get pregnant from behema, from the tayish, from that certain goat. Amar b'yirmiya, di aver mikolut. Rabbi Yirmiyah says she got pregnant from the kolut. Kolut means it does not have split hooves, Rabosei. So this is an animal without split hooves, but it's a kolut ben para. It's the kolut that came out of a cow. So something came out of a cow that, again, it was similar to a gummel in the sense it didn't have the regular split hooves like a cow, but it was the offspring of a cow. And that animal went and impregnated a regular cow, and now they had a child, and that child is completely kosher, even if it's a bit of a mutant, even though it had a father that looks not kosher. The father was a kolut, it didn't have split hooves. Of a regular cow, and he impregnated a regular cow, so that is the grandson of that first cow is Mutter. Aliber de Rabbi Shimon, and according to Rabbi Shimon, Kamar, the Kamar, Avolata Eichel Ababa Simen Echad, so he said you could eat something with one simen of kashrus, so that would be this animal. But Rabbi Shimon also holds you need Rosh of Rubo, so a mutant that doesn't have Rosh of Rubo resembling the mother, the head, and the majority of his body, Rabbi Osai, it wouldn't be eligible according to Rabbi Shimon. So Hai Tana Savar Le Kavase Bechada. So he holds like Rabbi Shimon that the one simen is good enough if it came out of the cow. Poligale Bechada, and he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon that you need Rosh of Rubo, so even if it's a bit of a mutant and it doesn't look like a cow anymore, it's still eligible because it came from the cow. The member of the Rabbi Eliezer Savar Zevazigur Mutter. So are you telling me, Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer held just above that you could have a non-kosher animal as the father and a kosher animal as the mother. That was good enough. So does he subscribe to the concept of Zevazigur Mutter? This and that cause it. It is allowed. And this is a concept where we have one kosher source and one non-kosher source. And even though the product contains something of the non-kosher source, we still see it's allowed. We saw this, Rabosai, by the cheese making. If they mixed, we read over this a while ago back in Chulin, where if they mixed in a kosher rennet and a non-kosher rennet, there was a tzad to say, zevazegorim, that it was mutter, or maybe not. It's a whole machlokes poskim. But we saw this, if there's a kosher source and a non-kosher source together, perhaps we'll say it's kosher. And Rabbi Yeshua Savar, zevazegorim aser. Does Rabbi Yeshua say that's aser? So we usually hear the opposite. Ha'ipka shaminan lehu. We've heard the other way around. In the context of Vlad Trefa, the offspring of a Trefa. So a Trefa gave birth to an animal. Could we bring it as a carbon? You know, a Trefa can't be a carbon. What about the offspring of a Trefa? And we assume that the mother was normal and the father was the Trefa here. Rabbi Lezer Omer lo yikar v'lagabe mizbech. You couldn't bring this animal to mizbech because the father was a trefa, and he's given a trefiness to it. Rabbi Yeshua Omer yikar. Rabbi Yeshua says you could bring it because he seems to subscribe to zevazegor mutter because the mother had no trefa and it was fine, so it should be fine to come up on the mizbech. He says yikar v'lagabe mizbech. So we say, the Gemara explains be'alma the first wide line. Savar Rabbi Lezer zevazegorim aser. Rabbi Lezer usually holds this and that come together. If there's something not kosher in one of these zez, it's aser. Shai nechacha, but it's different here. De'im ken, if it were so, that it's aser here, nichsav kra se kesavim ve'izim. But the Torah actually says se kesavim se'izim. It says that you really need the se to be like the parent species. So se vise lamali shmamina se mikomakom. So saying se twice, the Torah doesn't waste any ink. So Rabbi Eliezer learns out, so if there's any se, if it's, the se just has to be the offspring of the mother, even if the father is not kosher, Rabbi Eliezer makes this drasha, that it's still good enough, even though by bringing a son of a trefa to Mizbech, he does not allow zevizigorm. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Lecha, be'alma zevizigorm mutter. Rabbi Yeshua usually holds zevizigorm is mutter, if it had a kosher and a non-kosher source, we'll go after the kosher source and say the offspring is mutter. Acha imken lichtov kra shor. Kesev ve'ez, kesevim ve'izim, lamali. So it could have said in the singular, it could have said just shor, kesev, ez. But instead it says se kesevim ve'izim. It says it in the plural, which seems to imply both parents, Rabosai, are that same kosher species. Kesevim ve'izim, lamali, shmamina ad shehe aviv keves ve'imo kivsa. So we learn from here that we do not allow intermarriage by sheep. It has to be, according to Rabbi Yeshua, both the mother and the father are sheep. That's what he says, se kesavim ve'izim. It's plural. Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, gamol, shnei pa'amim. We have gamol twice, again in Vayikra and in Dvarim. Echad gamol hanolad min a gamol. One is a gamol that came out of Mrs. Gamol. Echad gamol hanolad min a para. One is a camel creature that came out of a cow. V'im rosho v'rubo dome le'imo. But if the head and the majority of this creature resembles the mother, the cow, mutter bechila, you can eat that thing. Shma mina lechila nami by Rabbi Shimon. So we've answered our question. Rosh of rubo shma mina, that Rabbi Shimon requires for eating that the head and the majority of the animal have to have the resemblance to the kosher mother animal, which is the same standard he applies by the Bechor, which is a bit of a higher standard than our Mishnah and the Chachamim had stated. Good, two dots. She yotze min atame tame. Something that comes out of a non-kosher is not kosher. Rabosai, this Shaila is one that you do not get every day. Bao min neighbor of Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes, Mei reglaim shel chamor mahu. Can we drink the urine of a donkey? Now, this is not a Shaila that you're going to see why this is. You're going to see why they're asking the Shaila. The Gemara is going to explain why are we asking this. Tibai lahu. So you could ask the susim gabolim. Why not also ask susim gabolim? Why are you saying davka achamor? Why not horses? Why not camels? What are you singling out the donkey for? The susim gabolim lo. We're not even going to ask lo mi bai lahu. We don't have to ask him. De lo achiri. They're not cloudy. So the liquid waste of these animals is not cloudy. Lo dama l'cholov. It doesn't resemble milk in that sense. It's not sort of another color. So it's maya ul, maya nafuk. We consider it that water went in and then water went out. So the halachic assumption would be this liquid waste of the source, the sus and the gamal, the horse and the camel, it has still as the halacha of water. Kimakar mibailahu, what we're going to ask, de chamor. We're going to ask about donkey, the achiri, it's cloudy, so it resembles the milk, and it would be have the halacha of its milk, that the milk is the excretion of the donkey itself, we saw in yesterday's Dafer Baisai, so it would be totally usher. So Mai, what's the halacha? Migufe kamimatze? Was it sort of squeezed out of its goof? So the word mimatze is lashon meats. Meats, of course, is juice. So is it juiced out of the animal itself, and it's a secretion like its milk, the asiri, and it's usher like its milk? Odilma maya ul maya napuk. Or maybe water went into the animal and water came out of the animal. Sure, it got a little dirty in the meantime. Hai dechiri, and now that it's cloudy, chovla de bisrahu. That was the heat or the deterioration, Rashi says, of the meat. It kind of some schmutz got in the water, but it's dirty water, but it still is the halacha of water. So that's the tzad to say it's still water. Amr lehu Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, Tinitua, you learn in the Mishnah, Shayotze min a tame, tame. What comes out of the tame is tame. Hayotze min ha tahor, tahor. So he's reading the Mishnah very carefully. Mi tame loka amar. The Mishnah doesn't say from tame. Ella, turning over, min ha tame. Out of the tame. So it's not just the bodily products of a tame, but it's something that's min Hatame, that's something that comes out of that animal. Vahane name, top line in the Dayaname base. Mina de tamehu. This comes out of the non-kosher species. So therefore, the donkey liquid waste is forbidden, just like donkey milk would be. Ika de amre, and some people say, de susim gamalim lo kamibai lahu. We didn't ask about the waste of a horse or a camel. We don't have to ask that. Why? You're going to love this, Rabosai. De lo shatu inshi. People don't drink that. Okay, kikami bailahu. So why are we asking the chamor about the donkey? The shatu inshe. People sometimes drink that. Why maluli yurakona? Because it's good as a cure for jaundice. It's a medication for jaundice. So now we need to know because people might drink it for a refuah purpose. Now Rabosai, we know the halacha is if there's pikuach nefesh, it's a tzad pikuach nefesh. You could even use something a medication that's not kosher. Now where it gets a little more fuzzy is a chole sheyesh bo sakana, someone who's sick, but they're not in danger of losing their life, God forbid, but they are ill, they are bedridden. It's chole sheyesh bo sakana, or a chole she'ein bo sakana. They have a headache, they have symptoms. Now, I'm not poskening, but I'm going to tell you, the poskim are mechalek. You know, if something is eaten, that would definitely, the poskim would be more inclined to say that needs to be something kosher. If something is injected, it's intravenous, it probably, they'd be more inclined to be makel, to say, well, it doesn't need to be kosher, and maybe is there an alternative medicine that is kosher, that doesn't necessarily come from a chazir, whatever the non-kosher source is, that we can use, or is this the best medicine for the job? Then the poskim might be inclined to allow it, because this person is cholesh sheyesh bo sakana, be more inclined to allow it. But for bikuach nefesh, we use even things that are not kosher, because v'chai b'hem, v'lo sheyamos b'hem. Good. So this donkey waste was used for people with jaundice, and apparently they were not people in Sakana, but they had symptoms, and they were trying to heal these symptoms. My, so now we need to know. Rav Sheshes says, learn from our Mishnah, Hayotze min hatame tame. Things that come out of the tame animal are also tame. Vehayotze min hatar, things come out of the kosher animal are tahor, are kosher. Hane nami mi tame ka'ate. And this liquid waste of the donkey, and also of the other ones, the sus and the gumbel, the horse and the camel, also they're coming out of it not kosher. So they would be not kosher. So why did we say bee honey is mutter? So here is the sugya of honey. They put it into their body. But it's not a secretion, it's not a mitz, a juice of their body. So beautiful. So bee honey is not made by the bees. Rashi explains they collect from the flowers, they're collecting the nectar, drinking it out of the flowers. The flowers are very smart. You understand? Hashem is very smart. Hashem made the flowers that they get pollinated by the bees. They have pollen in the flowers, which is their seed that they need to spread. And so the flowers also produce nectar, and the bees go in and drink the nectar, and they get all this pollen stuck on their legs, and they go to the next flower, and the flowers have spread their pollen that way, and the bees have retrieved their nectar, and everybody is happy. And then we get the honey, and the bees are not so happy, but we're very happy, especially in Rosh Hashanah. Baruch Hashem. Good. So the honey is not from their body itself, it's from the flowers, right? She says, from the nectar. Good. Hu de Amar Rabbi Yaakov. He says like Rabbi Yaakov, de Amar Duvsha Rachmana Sharya. Duvsha, which is Dvash, the Torah has permitted. De Tanya, Rabbi Yaakov Amer, Ach et Ze Lo Tochelu. Only this you cannot eat, Mikol Sheretz Ha'of. And then that pasuk goes on to give you the simanim of the kosher grasshoppers. So if you're Yemenites, you might know these simanim, you might be familiar with them. The rest of us usually don't eat grasshoppers, but the Torah gives you the simanim of kosher hagavim, kosher grasshoppers. But before that, it says, ach et ze tochelu, only this kind. It has this ach et ze, sounds like a little something extra. Ze ata ochel, this you can eat, v'yata ochel sheret of tame. And you can't eat the sheretz of tame. So sheretz of means like an insect, a flying insect. Sheretz of tame behed yakisiv, but sheretz of tame, it already said you can't eat. So why does it have to say achet ze tochelu mikol sheretz of? Ela sheretz of tame iata ochel, the flying insects you cannot eat. Avato ochel ma sheof tame mushrits, but you can eat what the tame of, the bee in this case, is expelling. Because it's not really its own body. Eze ze, ze dvash dvorim. This is the honey of bees. Interestingly, the bees have two sort of pouches. They have one, it's a stomach for digestion, which has digestive enzymes. And the other one, where they suck up the nectar, it doesn't digest. Now, it has an enzyme in it, which actually inverts the molecules that are in the nectar to start forming it into honey. And then when they put it into storage in the beehive, in those little hexagons there, it dries out and crystallizes a bit and actually becomes the honey. So they're not digesting it and they're not eating it. They don't consume it. They just keep it in the pouch until they get back to the hive, and then they regurgitate it into the cells of the hive to dry out and become the honey. So it's exactly what happens. They're not digesting it at all. So that this pasuk, he says, is learning it out. Now, we could have said, right, what you said yesterday, Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. So why don't we say that? Beautiful. Date honey. Shkayach. Wow. Someone reads the Rashi's on Chumash. Beautiful. So, good. So, over there, that pasuk, Rashi says, that's chol of izim, that's goat milk, and it's date honey. So it's not necessarily the honey from bees. But we have other sources in the Torah that we know they did eat honey from bees. Famously, Yehonasan ben Shaul took bee honey out of a beehive on a fast day and got in trouble for that. So we see that they, and Shimshon also got bee honey. So we see they were eating bee honey also in Tanakh. Yachol af dvash ha-gizim v'tzirin, back in the Gemara. So you would think even the honey made from gizim v'tzirin. Now Rashi says these are a kind of hagav, they're kind of a locust. Maybe just had a plague of them in Mitzrayim. Tosfos says they're not locusts, they're something else. A tzira is usually some sort of a wasp. So they also make a form of honey. Amrat, lo. Mara isa larabos devorim lahotzi a gizin with sirin. So why do we include bee honey and not the honey from gizin and sirin? Merabe ani dvash devorim. I'm going to include bee honey. She'ein lo shem levai. It doesn't have a name with it. So if you wanted to say, why, if they were selling honey in the store, according to FDA regulations, it would be honey from bees. Now, what if they said, if they wanted to sell wasp honey, it would have to say wasp honey on the container, or the company selling it would get in trouble with the FDA and with the Gemara in Bechoros, because stam honey is bee honey, unless Rashi tells you it's date honey, but stam honey is bee honey, and if they're selling wasp honey, it better say wasp honey on it, and we're not going to buy it because we've been to Daf Yomi and we learned this Gemara. Good. So Rabbi needs Ash Voyim, Shein Lo Shem Levi. It doesn't have an accompanying name. Motziani Dvash Gizin Vatsirin, and I will exclude from Kashrus the Dvash of Gizin Vatsirin, Shiesh Lo Shem Levi, because you have to say wasp honey on the jar, Rabbi Sai. Kimon Azlaha Datanya, who does this brisa go like? Dvash of Gizin Vatsirin Tahor, that the honey made by these insects is actually kosher. Mutter Bechila, and is mutter to eat. Delok Rabbi Yaakov. That's not like Rabbi Yaakov, who just taught us this source for the honey of the bees being good. Delok Rabbi Yaakov. So tahor. So it's tahor, it's not matame. Alma by machshava. So you see, it's a food that requires intention to become a food. We saw by tuma, we saw in chulin, sometimes a food is not a food until you think it's a food. So if you have little scraps of meat on the hide, we said, so they're not metame, they don't transmit tuma or make tuma, but if you gathered all these scraps of meat together and got it to a kazayas, then that means you're going to eat it, so then it would be metame as in the sense of, not in the sense of kosher, in the sense of giving over spiritual impurity, of tuma. Good, so do we say it requires makshava? You have to think it's a food for it to be a food. Tanya Nami, Hachi, we have a brisa also like this. Dvash bikivarto, dvash in the beehive, is metame tumas ochlin. It is tame like a food because honey, once it's in the beehive, it's assumed to be a food. It's not just food for us, it's food for the bees as well, Rabosai. Interestingly, the bees make something else. It's called royal jelly. And that actually comes from the bees themselves. So there is a big machlokis if it's kosher. Starkey says not recommended. And some other sources say, well, it's made from the honey, and maybe it's just fermented honey in a way, but it is a different product because they feed this royal jelly, obviously, to the queen, and the queen gets much larger, lives much longer, because it's really a different thing. It has all sorts of protein and amino acids in it that the regular honey doesn't have. So it's Tzorach Ian on royal jelly, but OU said, Starkey said not recommended, so take a look before you get royal jelly, but there are a lot of other products. The bee pollen, which is pollen mixed with honey, they say that's mutter, because the pollen's from the flowers and the honey's from the, as we just saw, is kosher. So that's just fun. So anyway, the dvash in the beehive is metame, tumas ochlin. It's already a food. Food for the bees, food for us. Shlo b'machshava, even without thinking, it's a food. It's automatically a food. Good. Choli de yachmarta, but these ball things that come out of the female yachmor, so now we got a big question. I've never seen this in person, but the Gemara has. Chazal have seen this. Savar Rabbanan the Meimar, Beyeninhu. The Rabbanan said those things coming out of the female Yachmor, they might be the male seed organs of the male Yachmor. So Rashi says what might have happened is they became detached during the mating process, and the male left there more than he wanted to, and now the female is expelling his body part, and that would definitely be Usser, Mishum Aver Minachai. Ve'asiron, they're Usser, they're Aver Minachai from the male Yachmor. Amar Rav Safra knew about this. He says, actually, they're Zora de Ayla, who, it's actually the seed itself, the generative male seed of the Ayla, of the Ayal. So how did the seed from the Ayal get in Mrs. Yachmorta? De Azil Batar Ayalta. So the Ayal went to Mrs. Ayal. Va'aydi de Rachmatzar, and her rechem was too narrow. Lo Mizdakaka. She would not get involved with Mr. Ayal. Now really, Rabbi Say, what's going on? I think what's going on is we understand that mammals have a cycle. They have a monthly cycle, and during a lot of that cycle, they're not fertile. They're not going to get pregnant, and a lot of the animals are not receptive to mating at that time. And they have their tail down, and the females are not receptive to mating with the male. In heat, as it's called, then they are receptive. So my assumption is the Ayalta is only available Davka when she's in heat. So she refused the advances of the Ayal. You see from here, Rabbi Say, the Chochmah of the Torah, that Hashem knows we are mammals, but we are on a higher, much higher spiritual madrega. We have more neshama, we have more ruchnius than these animals. But even so, to sort of consider our animal nature, Hashem has given us the mitzvah of taharas mishpacha. Hashem has given us a time to be, that the husband and wife are separate, and a time that we're back together. And Baruch Hashem. And so it accounts for, we have an animal nature, Rabbi Say, and we have an angelic, we have a spiritual nature also. And it's a mitzvah that combines these two things, that we're able to control our animal nature and use these urges, these desires that God gave us for a spiritual service, for a divine service. Baruch Hashem. So that's our Chassidish of art for today. Out of nowhere. Good. So what happens? The Ayal could not mate with Mrs. Ayal because she wasn't in heat. V'azil batar Yachmarta. So he went to Mrs. Yachmarta, v'natre, and he made a deposit in Mrs. Yachmarta, and Rashi tells us that it was Karush there. It turned into a ball shape there. So it was the seed of the Ayal that went into the Yachmarta, and became a ball there, and then she is depositing these things. They come out the back end of the Yachmor, so they are just Pirsha, they're not Eiver Menachai, so they would be Mutter. No one's gonna eat this. But if you need to make it into a medicine or something like this, I assume, then it would be Mutter for that. I hope they're not gonna eat this. Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says, or, similar concept, or a ba keneged panav shel chamar mutter. The skin that comes opposite the face of the chamar. We're talking about a chamar when it is a newborn, when it comes out. It could be still, there could be some of the amniotic sac. They call it a caul, C-A-U-L, and it's the sac around the animal. Sometimes animals are born in the caul, it's called. They have the sac on them when they come out, and then they have to rip it open or cut it open to get the animal out of the sac. So that's mutter. My time of pirsha ba'almahu. It's not a body part of the mother chamor, and it's not a body part of the baby chamor. It is pirsha. It's an amniotic sac. We have a brisa supporting you. Or haba keneged panav shel adam. The skin that's opposite the face of a human newborn. Bein chai, bein met, tahor. It's tahor, it's not metame. It's not because it's not a body part of the mother or the child. My love, bein hu chai v'imo chaya. Does this mean whether the child and the mother are still alive? Bein hu met v'imo meta. Or whether the child is, God forbid, passed away, and the mother also passed away in childbirth, God forbid. Lo, ben hu chai v'imo meta, ben hu met v'imo chaya. So if one of them is dead, we might be concerned that they were metame, this amniotic sac. V'tanya, but there's a brisa, ben hu chai v'imo chaya, ben hu met v'imo meta. Itanya, tanya. So if there's a brisa like this, there's a brisa like this, it doesn't matter if they're alive or not alive, but this amniotic sac, we're going to say it's not the placenta, but it's an amniotic sac, it's a pirsha ba'alma. It's not a body part of either the child or the mother to cause tumah. Great. Mishnah. And this Mishnah is a continuation of our concept, Hayotzim and Atame Tame. It's a really great twist on this. Dog Tame Shebola Dog Tahor. A non-kosher fish swallowed a kosher fish. Mutter Be'achila. You can eat the kosher fish. So the shark or the dolphin ate kosher fish, and then someone caught the thing and you cut open the belly. You can eat those kosher fish inside. Tahor Shebola Dog Tame. A kosher fish swallowed a not kosher fish, asur b'achila. You can't eat that. Lafisha einu gidula, because it's not its offspring. It didn't grow in it. We'll see in the Gemara what we're talking about. Taima de chazina de bola. So our Mishnah said she bola, that swallowed the other one. So the reasoning is that we see it chazina de bola, that it swallowed it. Halo chazina, if we didn't see it de bola, so maybe it should be asur. Ame ashrutse ashrit. We might say it's the spawn of the non-kosher fish, because fish lay eggs. The Tosfos at the bottom says both kosher and non-kosher fish lay eggs, but in a non-kosher fish, it's more likely that the eggs will spawn. They'll hatch inside the parent fish and then come out a little bit later. So if you cut open a non-kosher fish and you find these things inside, even if they look like kosher fish, maybe they're not kosher fish at all. Maybe they're the offspring of the non-kosher fish itself. Amazing thing. It's interesting, we say ki chazine. The Gemara is assuming we don't really see fish very often. And we know we don't see fish. Fish are hidden in the water, and fish are also immune to ayin hara. So it says, v'yirbu kedogim is a bracha, also to be protected from ayin hara. Because God willing, we want to have offspring, but we want them protected like dogim from ayin hara, which is, of course, why fish in aquariums don't live as long as fish in the ocean. You can ask any fish in an aquarium, he'll tell you. Good. So minolon de tanya, how do we know? Dog tame mashritz. A dog tame spawns its young inside the fish. Dog tahor matu beitim, and a dog tahor lays beitim. Again, the toast at the bottom says they both lay eggs, but the eggs hatch already inside the non-kosher fish. I think except for shark eggs. Shark eggs have, they come out. They have this really interesting leathery egg. They're really cool. I hachi ki chazina devola. If so, when we see them that they swallowed, so when we see them swallowed, amrinan hai ikula hai ashrutze ashrits. So even if we saw it swallowed, so if non-kosher fish can have their spawn inside their body, so even if they swallowed a kosher fish, even if we watched them in the aquarium that the non-kosher fish swallowed a kosher fish, why don't we say that the kosher fish was i'akola, it was dissolved, it was digested, v'hai, and this other thing we found inside, ashrutze ashrits, it's the spawn, it's the offspring of the non-kosher fish. Amar Rav Sheshes, kegon shematzalu derech harei. He found it in the intestines. He found it, you know, in the digestive tract, not in the reproductive area of the fish. Rav Papa Amar, kegon shematzalu derech beit ablia. If he found it in the throat of the non-kosher fish, that kosher-looking fish would be fine. Rav Nachman Amar, kegon shematzalu shalem. Nachman says he found it complete, because the offspring, the little fishlets, the little fishalis of the non-kosher fish, they're not fully formed, not fully developed. We're finding a fully formed, kosher-looking fish, fins and scales in a non-kosher fish. Good to go. Rav Ashi Amar, Rov Dagim Beminon Mashritzin. Rov Dagim, when they give birth, their offspring look like them. Kamisha Bola Lifanenu Dummy. So finding a kosher-looking fish inside of a non-kosher fish, understand, you cut open a shark and you find all these little fish with fins and scales. Rabbi say, that's not baby sharks. That's actually kosher fish. The Tosfos says we're going to paskin like Rav Ashi here, that finding a kosher-looking fish inside of a dog tame, that is good to go, and it's delicious. He doesn't say delicious, but he says that's kosher. Taner Banan, finishing up, we're going to bring a brisa. We're not going to be able to finish this brisa, but it's very interesting, so we're going to get a little bit start on this. Dog tame mashrits, a dog tame spawns the young inside the fish. Dog tahor metel beitzim, and the dog tahor lays the beitzim. The beitzim go outside of the animal. Kol hamolid, and anything that gives birth live. Molid is the same shorash lashon yelid, which is Baruch Hashem we have, is menik, nurses the young. The kol hamatil beitzim, anything that lays eggs, miloket, things that lay eggs, they gather food outside for the young. We know birds, they lay eggs and then they gather food, they bring it back for their young. Penguins, the same thing. Chutz mi atalef, except for the atalef. Atalef is usually translated as the bat. Rashi says it's a rat with wings. She'afal pi she'metil beitzim, even though bats lay eggs, I don't know if not many bats, menik. So they also nurse. We're going to read the first line on Ches, because it's amazing. We're in the middle of the Brisa. We have a few minutes. It's amazing. It's just so amazing. I know we're probably going to see it again tomorrow, but it's amazing. Good. Top of Ches. Hadolfinin. Okay. I'm not going to translate that. Parin viravin kivnei adam. They give birth, they give live birth like people. My dolfinin. What are dolfinin? Amar Rav Yehuda, bnei yama, the children of the sea. This sounds very innocent until you look at the top Rashi. Rashi says, Hey Gimel, Hachi Garsinan. This is the girsa I had. Hadolfinin, parin viravin. The dolphins reproduce. Mi bnei adam. He didn't say ki bnei adam, he says mi bnei adam. Oh my. So he says they can reproduce with human beings. She'im ba adam alehem. If a person has relations with this dolphin, mis abros, they could become pregnant hemeno from the man. Now, the next Rashi, Bnei Yama. What is a Bnei Yama? Dagim Yesh Bayam. Here it is, Rabbi Osai. Shechetzion Tsuris Adam. They are half people. Vechetzion Tsuris Dog. And they are half fish. Belaz, in an old French, Shrina, sirens. Sirens is French for mermaids. So here is the Makor for mermaids in Shas.
All Greek legends.
This is amazing. Right. So, it's not so simple. So the listen, the girsa in front of us is Kibne Adam. So Kibne Adam, you can leave it at that. Rashi had a different girsa. I don't know how Rashi got his girsa, but it implies that there are mermaids. Mermaids were real, and they could intermarry with people, which is truly an amazing thing. But Baruch Hashem, we've learned about kosher milk, non-kosher milk. We've learned about eggs. We've learned about honey. And now we've even learned about fish. There is an issue sometimes. Sometimes fish will swallow worms. And there could be worms inside the fish. So they do look inside. Certain species of fish have these liver worms, have these stomach worms that can spread throughout the fish. So that is obviously not kosher, and you'd have to check that fish for worms. But if you cut open a dolphin or shark and you find kosher fish, that is kosher. And we've even learned about mermaids. Thank you, everybody.